Today we're going to talk about not quitting your course. Don't quit your course. But I want to kind of briefly recap last week's message. Last week we talked about forgiving yourself, extending mercy to yourself. And friends, you know, we've all done things that we regret. We've messed up in life. We've said and done things that we shouldn't have done. And you know what? You've got to learn to forgive yourself. Jesus said that the second greatest commandment in Matthew 22:39 is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We can read it as, forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. And forgiveness involves release. All right? Releasing a debt that somebody owes you. And how do you release yourself? You release yourself from regrets of the past. I would have, I should have, I could have. And you release yourself from self-punishment. A lot of people punish themselves over sins and mistakes they've committed in the past. And forgiving yourself involves releasing yourself from self-punishment by seeing yourself as God sees you. That's the key. You release yourself from self-punishment by seeing yourself as God sees you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, all of your sins that you committed up until that point were forgiven and forgotten by God. They were cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And that's the way you've got to see yourself, is forgiven, a person with a brand new start and a destiny in life. Amen? So as I said, today's message is, don't quit your course. Do not quit your course. You know, friend, God has got a plan, an awesome plan for each and every single one of you in this room today. Nobody here is a spare part. You're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a God-given divine destiny and purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. Let me read it to you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He writes this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And that applies to us today. God has got plans for your life. Plans to give you a hope, a future, and to prosper you. If anybody's ever told you in the past that you're a spare part, you're an accident going somewhere to happen, that person was being inspired by the devil. You're not an accident. God has got something special for you to do on this earth that only you can do. Is that making sense? Friend, did you know that you can get a technical degree? Be it in welding, plumbing, electricity. You know, you can get a bachelor's degree. Maybe some of you have it. Maybe you can write a book. Some of you can become nurses and doctors. You can start your own business. You can be a teacher of God's Word. There is a wealth of potential stored up in this room today. Let me say it again. There is a wealth of potential stored up in this room today. And God wants you to go above and beyond where you are at right now. He wants you to go above and beyond the place that you're at today, and it's all for the advancement of His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You can become a doctor, you can write a book, you can start a business, you can become a teacher of God's Word, all for the advancement of the kingdom of God. So God has got a course for you to pursue. Say it with me. God has got a course for me to pursue in Jesus' name. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that when you're pursuing that course that God has for your life, oftentimes it's not going to be easy. It's going to get uncomfortable at times. And when it gets tough and uncomfortable, will you continue running the course that God has set before you? When the going gets tough, the tough in God get going. Galatians 5:22, Paul the Apostle writes, if you got a Bible, Paul writes in Galatians 5:22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the word I want to focus on today. One of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. What is faithfulness? What is faithfulness? I define it this way. Faithfulness is a constant steadiness to a course of action in hope, knowing you are going to get to the finish line. Say it again. Faithfulness is a constant steadiness to a course of action in hope, knowing you're going to get to the finish line. It's the second-hand quality. I call it the second-hand quality. Now, some of you have watches, and on those watches you have second hands, right? And the second hand does what? It ticks 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day faithfully. That second hand ticks 60 seconds a minute faithfully. And we've got to have that second hand quality. It doesn't matter what the conditions are around your watch. It could be noisy inside this place, a bunch of commotion going on, and guess what? That second hand continues to tick faithfully. You could be outside where it's cold and rainy, and guess what? That second hand on your watch continues to tick faithfully, 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour. The second hand on your watch, on your clock, is faithful. It ticks faithfully. And that's what we've got to have, friends. We've got to have that second-hand quality in our lives, ticking faithfully on the course that God has assigned to you and to me. Is that making sense today? Because it's got, you know, when you set out for the course that God has for you, be it a short-term course or a long-term course, it's going to get tough at times. And you're going to go through some valley experiences, through some low points. The question is this: when you're going through those low points, the valley experiences, will you continue ticking like the second hand, or will you quit? My word to you today is this: don't quit in Jesus' name. All right. Got a little thing here I'd like to read to you, and it says this. Life has two rules. Number one, never quit. Number two, always remember rule number one. Duke Ellington. Should I say it again? Life has two rules. Number one, never quit. And number two, always remember rule number one. You got it? What is it that God is calling you to do today, friend? What is it that God has called you to do in the short term, within the next year or 2 years, and for the next 10 years? What is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that you believe God has placed on your heart for you to fulfill on this earth? Will you keep going when the going gets tough? See, quitters focus on the problems. You know, you're starting to run this course that God has set before you. Maybe it's an educational path, a technical degree, whatever it is, writing that book, you know, starting a relationship. So you start this course that God has laid before you. And when it gets tough and you get tired, you know, when it's hot outside and you're sweating in the midst of work, are you going to focus on the problem, on the heat, on the toughness, or will you focus on the finish line? You see, quitters focus on the problems, but winners focus on the prize in spite of the problem. Winners focus on the prize in spite of the problem. Now, another thing I'd like to read to you says this: pay as little attention to discouragement as possible. Plow ahead as a steamer does, rough or smooth, rain or shine. To carry your cargo and make the port is the point. If Columbus had turned back, no one would have blamed him. No one would have ever remembered him either. He who gives up when he is behind is cowardly. He who gives up when he is ahead is foolish. Here's the thing I want to concentrate on. Pay as little attention to discouragement as possible. Plow ahead as a steamer does, rough or smooth, rain or shine. To carry your cargo and make port is the point. William Carey. Inspiration. Little thing about William Carey here. In a tall chestnut tree, William Carey spied a bird's nest that he greatly coveted. He climbed and fell. He climbed again and fell again. He climbed a third time. And in the third fall, he broke his leg. A few weeks later, while the limb was still bandaged, his mother left him for an hour or two. When she returned, he was sitting in his chair, flushed and excited, with a bird's nest on his knees. "Hurrah, mother, I've done it at last. Here it is, look." "You don't mean to tell me you've climbed up that tree again?" "I couldn't help it, mother. I couldn't really. If I begin a thing, I must go through with it. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, if you begin a thing, you need to go through with it. You need to persevere. You need to persist. Quitters focus on the problem. They focus on the discomfort. They focus on the challenge. But the winners, the ones who run their course, focus on the prize, on the finish line. And that's what we need to focus on in the course that God has assigned to you and to me. Making sense today? All right. Another inspirational little story here. Listen to this. A lad saw a want ad in a small Massachusetts paper asking for a young man to assist the office manager of a brokerage house in Boston. Applications were to be mailed to Box 1720 in Boston. The young man wrote the best letter of application he knew how. When no reply came, he wrote a second letter. Still no reply. Though discouraged, he did not quit. He rewrote his letter, changing the wording, improving the construction. Still, he received no reply from his third letter. The lad knew that success required persistence. So he took a train to Boston, went directly to the post office and asked, "Who rents Box 1720? The clerk replied that to give out such information was against the law. The boy hunted for Box 1720, then waited hours until someone came. He followed the person to one of Boston's largest brokerage houses. When the manager heard the story, he said, "My young friend, you are just the type we are looking for. The job is yours." Thus began the career of Roger Babson, one of America's illustrious statisticians. Isn't that something? Perseverance, persistence, not quitting, not giving up, will give you the prize at the end of the race, at the end of the course. Now, who are some of the people in the Bible that kept going in despite the challenges, the hardships? Who are some of the people that had a course set before them and pursued their course even though it got really tough at times? There's two main ones in the New Testament. You got it, brother. You're reading my sermon. Who was it? The Apostle Paul. Paul the Apostle was entrusted with what task? With what course? What course did God entrust Paul the Apostle with? It's found in Galatians 2:7. He was entrusted with the race of bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And guess what? In the midst of running that course, he faced some really tough times. 2 Corinthians 11. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. He talks about his challenges. 2 Corinthians 11, 21. "What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers." Verse 27 of 2 Corinthians 11. "I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?" Now, this was a man who was pursuing his course, right? Bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And in the midst of it, he experienced all the things that I just read. And if there was anybody who had reason to quit in the middle of his course, it was whom? It was Paul the Apostle. But why didn't he quit? Why didn't he quit? Because he saw the prize at the end of the course, the salvation of many Gentiles. He saw the establishment of churches amongst the Gentile people. And because he saw the salvation of Gentiles, because he saw the establishment of churches, he went through it. He went through the valley times. He went through the tough times. He went through the low times, the times of discouragement, the times of being in prison, the times of being without food. He went through it all because he saw the prize, the finish line at the end of his course. If he did it, he's a man just like us, friends. That means that we can do it. God has got something that only you can do. He's got a course for your life. A course for you to run. Something for you to do in his kingdom. And it's going to get tough at times. But in the middle of it getting tough, friend, I encourage you today, don't quit. Don't give up your course. Just keep looking to the prize. Ultimately, the prize is this, when God says to you, when you stand before Him in heaven one day, this is the ultimate prize, when He says to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into my rest." That's the prize I look forward to. How about you? I look forward to the prize of seeing souls in the kingdom of God as a result of my efforts and my labors here on this earth. And you can as well. Is that making sense? Another person who persisted in spite of the difficulties. Who was it? The greatest in the New Testament. Who was it?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, God the Son, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus had a course during his 3 years of ministry, 30 to 33. He healed the sick, cast demons out. But what was the ultimate course assigned to Jesus by God the Father?
Sacrifice.
That's good. The ultimate course assigned to Jesus by God the Father was the cross. Dying on that cross and rising again for the redemption of humankind, of all eons, races, and generations. That was the ultimate course assigned to Jesus by God the Father, was dying on the cross and rising again so that we could be saved. Amen? And let me tell you, Jesus was about to face the ultimate course in Matthew chapter 26. And in the middle of about to face this ultimate course, Jesus felt like quitting. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. In the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he went to the cross. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Verse 37. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Here's the key. Verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." What cup was Jesus talking about? The cup of suffering. He said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup of suffering be taken from me, this course that you've assigned me to go to the cross, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jump down to verse 42. He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken unless I drink it, may your will be done." Verse 44. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. In his humanity, Jesus wanted to do what before the cross? He was about to face the ultimate course of his life, the cross. And Jesus, in his humanity, wanted to what? He wanted to quit. But he said, "Father God, not my will, but your will be done in this." And guess what? Jesus persisted the course. He went through with it. He died on that cross. It was so tough. He took the sin of the entire world on his shoulders. He died, was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. And as a result, by faith in Christ, we have salvation today. That's awesome, isn't it? Let's jump over to Hebrews. He talks about this in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, talking about the course of Jesus, the ultimate course. Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the what? The race, the course marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance. What does he mean? He says, let us run without quitting the course set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, verse 2, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Let us fix our eyes on whom? Let us fix our eyes on, say it with me, Jesus. In other words, Jesus is to be our what? Our example for running the course that God has assigned to us. Now, why did Jesus endure the cross? It's right there in verse 2. He endured the cross for what reason? For the joy that was set before him. That joy was the prize. For the prize set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The prize that was before Jesus, the joy that was before him was what? Was whom? The joy before Jesus, the prize before the eyes of Jesus was whom? It was you and me. Those who would be saved as a result of the course that he ran at the cross. That was the prize. That was his joy. And because he saw souls in the kingdom of God, because he saw people coming into the kingdom of God as a result of him running the ultimate course, it was satisfying for him to run that course. Even though it was tough. Even though he wanted to quit. And friends, you've got to keep your eyes on the prize, on your joy, with the course that God has assigned to you. If it's going to technical school, it might be tough in that year and a half or 2 years. You know, you may have some sleepless nights doing homework, but keep your eyes on the prize. Graduation day, you know, in writing that book that God has called you to write, perhaps. Keep your eyes on the prize that many people will be ministered to. As a result of you writing that book, the kingdom of God will be advanced. And you may go through some sleepless nights thinking about this book and how to write it, how to put the sentences together, but keep your eyes on the joy set before you. That making sense today? In running a marathon or running a race, in me running a 5K, you know, 3 miles, it's tough sometimes to the flesh to run, right? But what do? To run that 5K, to run that half marathon, to run that marathon, you've got to keep your mind focused on what? You've got to keep your mind focused on the finish line. I'm going to get to it. And they say that when people are running these long races, they pick something to focus on. Be it maybe a car in the distance. And once you get to the car, you find maybe something else in the distance, a tree that you focus on. And once you pass the tree, you find maybe a store in the distance. You focus on it until you eventually get to the finish line. So how do you keep going in the midst of the obstacles, friends? How do you keep going in the midst of the obstacles? Anybody? Anybody? Keeping your eyes on the what? On the finish line, on the joy, on the prize set before you. And then finally, most importantly, it comes with prayer. Seems that God does nothing except somebody prays. And in your flesh, you're going to get weak. When you go through the low times, the valleys, you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. And in those times, just cry out to God and say, God, I can't do it anymore. And at that point, God intervenes with his divine strength and helps you finish the course. Jesus finished his course, right? The cross. He died. He rose again. People have been saved throughout the ages. He did it. We're to fix our eyes on him. We can finish the course that God has assigned to us. And friend, is it possible that so many people have died without fulfilling their potential because they quit in the middle of their course? Is that possible? That so many people died without fulfilling the thing that God called them to fulfill because they quit in the midst of difficulties. I don't want to be one of those. How about you? Say, not me. Say, not me. I don't want to be one of those. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because friends, you know what? We're going to stand accountable before God one day. And he's going to ask you, and he's going to ask me, why did you not fulfill the course the short-term course, the long-term course that I had assigned for you to fulfill. We're going to stand before him one day, and he's going to ask us, and we're going to have to respond to him. That's a scary thought, isn't it? That's a scary thought. But if you're fulfilling the course that God has assigned to you, guess what? We look forward to that day with joy and not fear.